Next on BYUSN, it's a ball night for BYU men's basketball. Baylor in town. Where do the Cougars hold an advantage in tonight's matchup? AJ DiBonsa returns to the program to discuss what it means to be named a McDonald's All-American, plus his thoughts on how BYU played last week.
I'm loving it.
Who is BYU football's best prospect for this year's NFL draft? Tyler Batty or the field? And Top 5 Tuesday features the five best wins over Baylor across all sports in the young but thriving Big 12 era.
So many wins, and we're here for it. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Tuesday, January 28th.
Ball night!
I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who is taking his MMA fandom to another level, Jerem Jordan.
For some reason, last night, I'm working for the Bucks at the Jazz game, and I'm like, what is Conor McGregor doing here? And they did an interview with him on the Bucks feed. Yeah. And our friend Eric Lem got a picture with him, which is great. Not everyone's a fan of Conor McGregor, but he was in the house. He gave BYU soccer a shout-out on Instagram. He was like, shout-out to BYU men and women's soccer. He's working with Bucked Up, which Lopini Katoa, former BYU running back, works there. So he's in Utah. He's never been here. I'm hoping he makes an appearance in the Marriott Center tonight. I think that would be really fun.
Listen, if he's giving a shout-out to BYU soccer, just maybe one of the greatest fighters in our generation in that MMA circuit could show up tonight. Who knows?
I feel like that's a tease. Volleyball and basketball and football are like, yo, what happened to us? Soccer gets the love. Soccer gets the love.
Just general love to BYU,
Men and women's soccer. That's cool.
Yeah, really cool. It was the Jazz game last
night. And he went
to
In-N-Out. Can you imagine just showing up? Like, I don't know which In-N-Out it was, but like American Fork. You're just like, turn around like, what's this guy doing here? Oh, it's Conor McGregor.
He was signing autographs in Farmington, Utah at one of the bucked up buildings down there. So
nice.
Cool that he's in the state of Utah.
I wish, if Lagoon was open, maybe he'd gone there. We're just making the rounds.
Let's just ride some roller coasters, you know.
Checking all
late January.
Let's have them hike the Y, too. Let's go.
All good. All rise and shout. Put your dukes up. It's time for what's trending. So they've turned it around. Can they climb up the hill out of it? They got to beat Baylor to do that.
BJ Edgecombe, my goodness.
You know, as athletic as they are, I think we play a bit faster.
You know, you don't put a saddle on a Mustang. You just let him go.
Bring on the Bears. BYU basketball trying to do something they've never done as a Big 12 team, and that is win three consecutive Big 12 games in a row. That took care of Colorado on the road. BYU routed Cincinnati at home, but in comes another level of a team in Baylor, who is a quad one opponent. Again, BYU favored on paper slightly, and you look at the numbers of these teams, they're very similar, Jerem, in terms of metrics and percentages and what they do. So where does BYU have an advantage in tonight's matchup?
One, it's at home, where BYU's 26.
Amen. The Marriott Center is at the top of the list.
BYU won this game by 7 last year. Okay, and when BYU wins a Big 12 game, right now it's been by 20. I don't anticipate that tonight unless BYU shoots 11 of 15 from three again in the second half. So you look at net, you look at KenPom, you look at offensive and defensive efficiency. They're divided by 10, 5, 3, 1. So very similar teams. BYU favored by 3.5 in this game. KenPom has BYU by 3 as well. Mm-hmm. So within the game, what does BYU do better? They have better pace. They are better three-point shooting team by 37 spots in percentage. They shoot 6% better from two. The bench scores more for BYU. BYU's top 10 in minutes, top 35 in points per game off the bench.
Yes.
BYU prevents opponents from getting offensive rebounds. Fourth in the country. Baylor 224th. Cougars a very good rebounding team. That's despite the fact that Baylor is going to go with two bigs, Norchad Omier and Josh Ojanwuna.
Okay.
They play two bigs. That's traditional basketball. BYU more of the modern basketball with four shooters on the court at a time. You got to beware Omier, though. Number one rebounder in the Big 12.
He's going to test BYU.
Number five is Kata. So that's going to be interesting. On the Baylor side, what do they do better? Well, they have the best player in the gym, VJ Edgecombe. He's a top five projected prospect right now. Yegor up there, too, in the top 10, top 15. The experience that Baylor brings as well, 31st in average, 2.7 years of experience. Baylor's got some freshmen they're throwing out there. It's Edgecombe and then mostly vets, although Robert Wright, a freshman, has been starting the last three games for Jeremy Roach. He's almost 5 assists per game. He's similar to Yegor in his ability to find his teammates. And then this is a random one, but 2 foul participation. Baylor's 5th in the country. They get two fouls, not worried.
They're still playing.
But I'm very interested because what does Baylor always do really, really well? Great guards. What they do is great guards.
Yes.
Jaden Nunn shoots 44% from three, although he struggled the last three, four, 15. They are banged up a little bit. Langston Love's the guy we saw last year. He has an ankle injury. He hasn't played since New Year's Eve against Utah in the Big 12 opener. Jeremy Roach, the Duke transfer, people know him. Concussion, missed last week. They lost to TCU. If they had him in the TCU game, they probably beat them. But Baylor is good. Like, this would be the best win of the season. This would be the first quad one. This would be the three-game win streak. Like, all good things. All things that BYU needs to show up for. If they win, it's big time. If they lose, it's like, well, shoot. When is BYU going to win a game against someone above them in the standings?
Tonight is the opportunity. To all of those numbers and valid points that you bring up, I will add that BYU, it feels like, has general better overall health. You touched on it a little bit. Langston Love and Jeremy Roach, according to a Baylor basketball spokesperson, said nothing has changed in the status of Love, his ankle, and Jeremy Roach, concussion protocol. Both remain day-to-day as the Bears get set to play BYU Tuesday in Provo, Utah. I expect both to play, but are they both fully healthy? I prepare that way, probably just prepare for the full onslaught of what they could do. And if somebody doesn't play, okay, then you adjust.
Yeah, Love hasn't played in almost a month. It's not like tonight is suddenly the night. Maybe it is. I don't know.
Maybe because you're coming off. I mean, you mentioned they lost to TCU. That was bad. It's an opportunity for Baylor here to steal a good win in a tough gym.
Sure.
I don't know. Maybe he doesn't. But for me, mentally, it's like, okay, I'm just going to prepare that those guys are going to play. But if they do, they're not fully healthy. So that's where BYU has an advantage. I feel like BYU's health, generally speaking, as a team and their depth is better right now than what Baylor will be able to bring on the road. Add that to playing at the Marriott Center where, frankly, BYU just does not lose really to anybody. I mean, how many Big 12 games has BYU lost at home? Three?
Texas Tech,
Houston,
and was there one more? Was it a non-conference? No, it wasn't a non-conference game, was it?
Don't lose at home in games like this, and I expect the Marriott Center.
Oh, in Cincinnati.
Cincinnati. Thank you. I knew there were three.
It was downloading.
They have lost only three Big 12 games.
Yeah.
Okay. They got their measure of revenge against Cincinnati last week. BYU is riding a wave of momentum. I don't know if Baylor. In fact, I'm confident the Baylor is not on that wave of momentum, and that matters. You stack days. Kevin Young has said it to his guys. We're stacking days. Mm-hmm. We're stacking momentum. We're stacking wins now. This is the opportunity. BYU will take advantage, the clear advantage of playing on their home floor, and I think their health and their depth. BYU's bench scoring. You pointed out the numbers from KenPom. BYU's bench is nice, Jerem.
Mm-hmm.
Really nice.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a valuable asset.
And that's
BYU.
Without Dallin Hall doing much offensively the last three games, by the way. Like, just think when Dallin turns it on. Now, he's still figuring it out off the bench, but, like, Dawson Baker and Foose are your consistent two.
Dawson has taken
producing.
His game to another level at Colorado and at Cincinnati specifically.
Yeah, like, 8 to 11 points on efficient shooting is the thing for him. Can he get a defender on his hip and put that little floater in? He needs to get the and one, by the way. I watch a ton of NBA. That's foul every time. They don't really call it in college. So tonight is a massive opportunity, as we mentioned.
BYU's
win
one
a quad
best.
One.
Yes.
Like, win a quad one. If you win it, it's like, all right, BYU's going. Which, by the way, last year BYU was 4-5 in the first nine in league. If they win tonight, they're ahead of last year's
One ahead
team.
Of the curve, but the schedule gets tougher.
The schedule, I think, was tougher in January last year. By the way, as I mentioned, work for the Bucks. Talked to Marcus Johnson, their longtime analyst. He played with Harvey Catchings. Cannon's grandpa, which is pretty cool. He said that he was a great defender and not a big-time shooter, but I said, Cannon's getting that shot going, and he's a big-time defender, especially that wipe off the glass that you saw.
The tie's there. Super cool.
Not to mention Mom and Aunt Tamika.
Hopefully Cannon genes. Can take that momentum that we were just talking about, and he and Yegor can continue this better level of play.
How about 30 scouts from 15 teams tonight? They're here to see VJ.
Oh yeah,
quite a bit, right?
You're a top five.
And
Yegor
and Cannon and Richie Saunders. They're here to watch Richie too.
Is working his way into a potential NBA spot. Incredible.
Whatever that means. Is he a first round guy? Doesn't feel like it. Is he a second round guy? Perhaps.
Yes.
Is he an undrafted free agent, two way guy that gets his win. I don't know. There's a spot for him, though. It feels like that. And Kevin Young's saying it, so it's validated.
Listen.
Opposing coaches are telling broadcasters that when they do games against BYU.
A number to watch tonight. Both of these teams shoot the three well. They're both top 85. I believe Baylor's number 80, 35.7%. Is that 35.8%? They're right at number 80.
I've got them 56th in the country in percentage.
Okay.
And BYU.
On the Ken Pom scouting report, it said number 80 in the country.
NCAA Ken Pom, talk to each other,
BYU 37.1%. They're one of the best three-point shooting teams in the country. So BYU has a clear advantage there. And on your home floor, outshoot your opponent from the three-point line.
Yes, don't Texas Tech it.
Outshoot your opponent.
That was bad.
Don't go 5 for 23 like you did against Texas Tech.
One end of the spectrum.
Make the 10 threes. You make 10 threes, you're going to beat Baylor. Okay?
Unless it's 10 for 40.
Even with BYU going 10 for 32 against Arizona State, winning number. The only game they made 10 or more threes in and lost was overtime against Ole Miss on a neutral floor.
Yeah.
And they made 12, and it took overtime.
But you allowed like 80-plus
points. Yes. Yeah.
Going into overtime. Okay, how different will you feel about BYU with a win or loss?
Well, we've already talked about it a little bit.
Yeah.
BYU would be pacing above where they were through 9 games last season.
That'd be wild.
But given the start this year, if BYU could figure out a 3-game win streak for the first time ever, I'd be feeling great about BYU's chances to take their momentum and go on the road and play in a really tough arena at UCF. Imagine this. BYU loses just a grinder tonight, and it's like, oh, you lose by 2.
72-70.
You're upset. Now you have to travel across the country and go play in Orlando against a team that is going to be highly motivated to beat you because BYU has beaten them all 3 times in the Big 12, including the Big 12 tournament. We talked to UCF's guards at Media Day. They were eating at our snack table. And it's like, man, we cannot figure out why we can't beat BYU. Like, we saw the schedule. We circled that game. They said that out loud to us. We circled the game. Like, we respect BYU, but gosh, we want to beat them so badly.
It's like Vince Vaughn in Anchorman when he's coming out of the bear pit. I hate you, Ron Burgundy, but gosh dang it, I respect you. That's UCF.
Yes, UCF's guards and their leaders, they want this game badly. So
Keyshawn Hall's like, you liked 40 points the other day? I'll try and get a 41 spot on you guys.
BYU needs to win this game so that they're one above going to Orlando with some momentum. Because if you are doubting yourself, like, we've lost a second home game now, lost to Texas Tech, and Baylor still don't have a quad one win.
What's
and
the big win the this road. Season?
Yeah, like then it's just like this little now bit of doubt.
Now there'd be pressure to have to beat Arizona, who's in here in a week, by the way, after last night's incredible comeback win against Iowa State at home.
Insane finish.
Oh, my gosh.
In that game.
We'll talk about that a little bit later. What if I told you this is a trap game for Baylor? They play Kansas Saturday.
Okay.
There's a little – I know it's 5 days separated. Little bit of that trappiness dust.
Can it be a trap game if they're an underdog?
Yeah, because they're Baylor. They're one of the – they won a national title within the last, 4 years?
Okay.
They produce first-round picks every year. They get to the Sweet 16. They're the only team in the nation to be a top-3 seed in the last 4 NCAA tournaments. They're another level, Spence. BYU aspires to be like a Baylor, a Gonzaga, to be consistent at that level.
If they were fully healthy, I'd be a lot more worried than I am right now.
I feel good about – and frankly, even if Roach and Love were playing, it's like, okay, they always have good guards. Like, they're bringing a dude off the bench that's averaging 12 a game and 5 assists.
Fair.
That's those are Yegor's numbers almost, right? He's not 6'9", he's 6'1", but they've got good talent on the guard line. Then they have a really good power forward in Norchad Omir, as mentioned. So, okay, a couple things. Yeah, first quad one, first 3-game win streak, best win of the season. Number 28, Baylor, you'd be 27-3 at home. Like, you continue that thing. If you lose, Baylor's now 6-3 in league and creates separation there. Still no 3-game win streak, still no quad one. And then you just kind of be like, what's going to be the time when BYU turns the corner? Because we've talked about, some people feel like, hey, they've turned a corner after the last 2 wins. Those were great. Don't get me wrong. I'm never going to complain about winning. What I will complain about, though, is that you don't upset some teams. And frankly, it's not an upset tonight because BYU's favored. BYU's supposed to win this game at home, and they need to. And then we can say, all right, BYU's got a quad one, and it needs to be the first of at least 4. And you have Arizona coming in next Tuesday, and 2 weeks after that, Kansas. You have chances to prove yourself. Prove yourself tonight, BYU.
If BYU gets to 5-4 and they beat Baylor tonight, I start to lean toward, okay, they're going to win 9 conference games. Like, this is one of those turning point games.
Yeah. Well, like, what's the one? Like,
it's a coin flip game. It's like, okay, if you win this one, okay, now you're on an uptick.
We felt like BYU needs to win at least one of those 3 big Tuesday games we're talking about, right? Arizona, Kansas coming in too.
To win 9 games.
If you win tonight, now we'll go, okay, get a second one of the next two. One, that'd be a big win, right? Like a huge
win. Now, if you steal a game in Orlando after beating Baylor and you win 4 in a row, then I'm back on the, okay, now there's a real possibility that BYU could win 10 league games.
And now the Arizona-BYU game is bunkered.
Yes.
If BYU walks in on a 4-game win streak after those 2 wins this week, woo!
BYU's got to win one of the next 2.
At least.
Beat Baylor or UCF, okay? I love both, obviously.
Both quad ones.
Got to get a quad one this week.
Baylor gets you more oomph than the UCF one.
Get a quad one this week.
Check that box.
BYU's been checking boxes the last few games. Check that next box. Our question of the day. Do you expect BYU to beat Baylor tonight? Why or why not? Straight up, do you expect BYU to win? The Cougars are 3.5-point favorite on their home floor at Dodger Jazz Cougs. Answers, yes.
Who does he or she root for?
Yes, BYU is at home. They should beat most teams at home no matter who they play. Oof.
Most? Sure. Like 350 of the 365? In the country? Sure, yeah.
It just so happens there are like 3 or 4 teams in the Big 12. If they did play in the Marriott Center, it's like, I don't know.
A few were coming.
Yep.
As we mentioned.
Notably Arizona and Kansas.
Yeah.
Okay. Hashtag BYUS on an X, Facebook, and Instagram to weigh in on that social media conversation. Do you expect the Cougars to win tonight?
Are hashtags still a thing? They still doing that?
I don't know.
A.J. DeBonta was named a McDonald's All-American yesterday, the 6th BYU player to do so. Pretty cool. Elder Durant. Michael Smith, Greg Kite, Sean Bradley, and Garner Meads. Sorry, my Copper Hills Grizzlies defeated Garner in his final high school game. How big of a deal is this for A.J. DeBonta?
Jerem, this is a super-sized deal.
Nice. I see what you did there.
Okay.
That documentary is disgusting.
Super-size me?
Yes.
Gross.
Ugh.
Gross. Though I do love a good Big
Although
Mac
I might
on occasion.
Find myself
we
at
might
the
eat
one
some McDonald's today to celebrate
Freedom Boulevard
AJ
today.
They have some healthy options now, Jerem.
I don't care about that.
That documentary probably put some healthy options on the menu.
The doc was disgusting. I still eat there. I just don't want to eat there every day. Anyway.
Oh, how big of a deal is it? Yeah, this is a huge deal. How often has BYU had a McDonald's All-American? 5 times ever before AJ?
Years, yeah.
Garner Meads was lost. I stood next to Garner Meads on the floor at Weber State University.
Academic All-State. At halftime, I was watching my Grizzlies beating Brighton, and in comes Spencer Linton. I didn't know you, but I was like, who's that good-looking white dude? It's probably a coach's kid out at halftime there. Academic All-State, dude.
Listen, that's how long it's been since BYU had a McDonald's All-American. I was in high school. Yeah. Playing basketball at the same time as Garner Meads.
How many years ago did someone like message into the show like, hey, why are these students on the air? Something like that. Yeah. No, this is a massive
It's been
deal.
A long time.
Why is it? Yeah, absolutely. This is just an excuse to talk about how awesome this
is. It's more exposure.
We're going to hear from AJ later, by the
more
way.
More positivity. We'll ask him about it. What it meant to him to be named a McDonald's All-American.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe some of the swag that comes with it.
Does he get any McDonald's? Is that a thing?
Do you get
McDonald's?
I would hope McDonald's that you get at least like free food for a year if you want. Not that you want to use it, but
one time when I was 16, I won like my age group in like a 5K in South Jordan, and they gave me 30 free Whoppers.
Did you use the full?
Yes, I did. In
oh
high
my
school,
goodness.
In high school, that's easy. I did it every day, and I did a documentary called. No, I didn't.
You used it to the fullest.
Over time,
all
yeah.
30. Well, wow. Good
I have,
for you.
There are other people in my life I can give them to.
Good
so.
For you. Yeah, no, that's
me.
Awesome.
I'm like, okay. No, my Whoppers.
Okay. Basketball out, football in for the moment. BYU defensive.
We're going to be at McDonald's or Burger King later today. It's guaranteed. Now.
Tyler Batty has been getting some love at the Shrine Bowl. He's eating healthier than McDonald's, probably. Or maybe not. Hail Mary Sports posted this update from the Shrine Bowl saying, hashtag BYU defensive lineman Tyler Batty has been in the backfield nearly every play of this scrimmage at the Shrine Bowl.
Oh, we're going superlatives now. Nice.
Is Tyler Batty BYU's best prospect in this year's NFL draft?
1,000,000%, despite that slip. But yeah, he looks good. yes, there are some good players for BYU. But Tyler, despite having less production this year, was on a really good player on a good team. He was a leader. He had more picks than sacks, but I don't think that it mattered. Like, his body of work and who he is as a person will shine in this draft class.
I'm not even mad. I'm impressed. More interceptions than sacks right? as a defensive lineman.
Pretty crazy. Like, Jacob Robinson, by the way, added to the Shrine Bowl roster, which is cool. Jacob's issue is not his on-field performance. It's just how much he weighs. Like, I think he needs to be a little heavier to be a corner at the next level. Could he put on some weight and maintain his speed? Hopefully, because I think he could be an interesting guy at the next level, too.
I'm excited to watch what he does at the Big 12 Combine.
He's got to be fast enough. Not fast enough, right? Because he's got all the skills. Like, he makes plays, and we've seen that. BYU's got some good players. Caleb Etienne should be a guy that's interesting in the NFL draft, too. Is he kind of a day three guy? Tyler feels like a day three guy as well. There's certainly not, like, the top-end prospects from BYU this year, but you're going to find over the next three or four drafts that BYU had a bunch of NFL guys on this year's team.
There's something to be said about BYU not having a surefire draft pick or draft picks and producing one of the best teams in BYU football history.
Yeah,
they were 11-2 with no, like, otherworldly stars on their roster. It's awesome. They were a true team.
This is where the Kansas State analogy in comparison works. K-State's not pumping out, like, first, second rounders every year, but they are consistently, like,
always a good team.
8 to 9 wins competing for the Big 12. Like, that's where BYU needs to be.
Well, BYU wants to be.
Yet, BYU has had number 2 pick within the last couple of years. They've had second round and first round guys and third round guys. Like, BYU's actually been better in the draft, I think, that way. But, like, this year is more like that model.
I love it. Yeah. And I expect Jacob Robinson and Tyler Batty to be on – if they don't get drafted, they will have
– And Caleb Etienne.
And Caleb Etienne. They'll all have preferred undrafted free agent contracts.
Yeah.
Like, they
they'll
will –
be in camps
will,
for sure.
They will be BYU contacted by a lot of teams.
A couple other dudes in camps, too.
Sure.
Okay, men's hoops taking on Baylor tonight, as we mentioned. Cougars go for their first quad one win of the season. And Baylor's number 28. That could be a quad two tomorrow if they drop to 31. Pregame, 8 Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
After the break, I go one-on-one with the number one high school player in the country, A.J. DiBonsa.
Did he drive on you? Did he dunk on you?
What it means to be named McDonald's All-American and his coach's thoughts on how BYU played last week is BYUSN.
Oh, you just spoke.
I couldn't guard him.
6'9", jumbo wings, 7-foot wingspan. He is unbelievable. BYU's got a chance to win it all next year because they have the best player in the country.
We're talking about a generational transcendent player.
A.J. DiBonsa, the number one recruit in all the land. We are live at Studio B. It is a ball night for BYU basketball, and we're bringing the heat today. Alongside Jerem Jordan, I'm Spencer Linton. Yesterday, I had a chance to talk with the newest BYU McDonald's All-American. He is A.J. DiBonsa, fresh off a trip to Paris. We asked him about receiving the honor, what he learned in his international trip, and does he have any new bits of coaching advice for his team this week? A.J. DiBonsa on BYU Sports Nation. A.J., let's start with your recent trip to France. What was the best part of your most recent international travel between watching NBA games, food in Paris, and understandably the sightseeing?
I mean, the food is always good when I go there. They have some of, it's not the best pastries. But I met a lot of, like, retired NBA and WNBA players, which was cool.
Okay. Well, there's a natural follow-up there. Who did you meet and have a chance to talk with?
List goes on, like, Andre Iguodala, Sean Livingston, Joe Dumars. I met Oscar Robinson, Candace Parker. Like, the list just keeps going on.
Wow. Okay, Joe Dumars and Oscar Robertson. We just did a special feature on Oscar Robertson that we put out on BYU Sports Nation. So what are your conversations like with those NBA legends? What are they telling you?
I mean, obviously the game has changed since their era. So, like, they're obviously just now understanding, you know, how we play basketball. But you just got to respect what they did for the game.
Wow. Okay. Joe Dumars, he's a guy that I watched play for the Detroit Pistons when they had the bad boys and that tough defensive mentality. We focus a lot on your offense, AJ, for good reason, because you're so skilled that way. But how are you trying to get better defensively with a guy like Joe Dumars of the Detroit Pistons in mind?
I mean, I watch defensive film. I mean, it can be from Drew Holiday to Herb Jones to Dyson Daniels. So, I mean, I definitely watch defensive film, try to be a defensive player, a two-way player.
In those NBA games that you watched, obviously meeting with so many legends is such a great experience and opportunity. On the floor, what did you like best about what you saw from those international NBA contests?
I mean, it was fun just seeing the environment because all the NBA games I've been to have been in the States, obviously. And we're crazy fans, but France, I mean, obviously there was French players on both sides, so that was a plus, but France actually does care about the NBA, and it was good to see like that it's becoming an international sport.
Certainly, basketball qualifies as that, and I know you're still working on the trash talk in French. We'll maybe get to that a little bit later, but I do want to follow up on the pastries, and because you mentioned crepes, okay, did you get the crepes that you wanted? Were they adequate to your expectations?
I had too many crepes, actually.
What is AJ DeBonce's diet like for the most part, outside of going to Paris with crepes and pastries?
So outside of Paris, I'm on a diet. Like I eat right, less sugar. If I'm gonna drink, like I drink water, smoothies, natural juices. Try to eat 3-4 times a day, healthy snacks, like, you know, salt, more salt than sugar. But I did break it in Paris. I'm not going to go to Paris anytime soon, so I had to stack up on my pastries.
Absolutely. Hey, there are certain exceptions made. Going to Paris is probably one of them. You mentioned you're on a strict diet. In fact, that was a big part, and something you mentioned specifically when you signed with BYU is the fact that they have an NBA nutrition expert and workout regime and all of those things. So how strict is that code for high-level basketball players? Because I think that's an overlooked part of preparing for the NBA and playing in the NBA.
I mean, definitely with us, since we're in high school still, when I go on the roads, sometimes food can be tough because we have to do everything super quick. So, like, you might have to stop at, like, a fast food. Like, I'll try to get the healthiest option, like a Chipotle or something, but sometimes you have to settle for, like, Canes and stuff like that. And, like, you would rather eat something than not eat. That's what Danielle told me. So, but, I mean, it'll be easier next year, you know, with everything prepped. So,
you're a competitive guy, obviously. Xavion's a competitive guy. Your future teammates at BYU, your teammates right now with Utah Prep. In fact, you told me just before you hopped on the call, you were coming back from lunch with him. Who puts down more food, you or Xavion?
I've only been with him for like a week and a half. But I used to, like, I'm force feeding myself now because I used to, like, not eat because my appetite, I just never had it. But now I have to eat to keep, like, my muscle on. But I'm going with Xavion. Like, I'm not saying myself. I'm going with Xavion.
You're giving him credit.
He can eat. I'm giving him credit.
Speaking of food and fast food, you were named a McDonald's All-American this morning. What does that mean to you to be on that squad?
I mean, it's a dream come true. That's every high schooler's dream. It's like one of, if not the biggest accomplishments you can get or make. And I'm just blessed to be a part of that team that's part of 24 players.
Well, congratulations from all of us across BYU Nation to you in that regard. Can't wait to watch the next McDonald's All-American in the BYU line come to play in Provo. And while we're on the topic of Provo and BYU basketball, you said you put on the Coach AJ cap, and I loved it. You said, look, it's way too early to panic about BYU. They're going to be fine. Give Coach Young time and the guys time to gel. Well, they dominate Colorado and Cincinnati.
Yeah.
In fact, they beat Cincinnati by 28, AJ. So what did you see that you liked from BYU in the last two games?
They took their time. They found out what works, and they rolled with it. That's about it. I mean, just finding, like, just picking the defense apart and then, like, what works. You'll keep doing it. If it's not broken, don't fix it. And they figured that out kind of early, so.
What's your mentality and emotions like as you watch BYU?
Me, like, the way I watch, like, depending on what game it is, I like watching basketball and, like, putting myself in positions. Like, I'll watch, like, the game film and be like, okay, if I was playing, I would be right there or I would be doing that, like, stuff like that. So I'll just be, like, watching and, like, seeing where I would be on the court.
I know you're breaking it down analytically from a very different mindset and perspective. Do you ever feel the emotions of a fan, however, like, if things are not going well for BYU?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like when it's a close game or we're losing or stuff like that, like I'll be in my head talk about like we gotta do this, we gotta do that, wishing I can coach, knowing well I'm not a good coach at all. But you know.
AJ Dubonza is with us on BYU Sports Nation, fresh off a trip to Paris where he met some NBA legends, had an opportunity to talk with a lot of great people. Candace Parker is a great and respected personality. What was your conversation like with her?
I mean, it was just, I don't think she knew who I was. So it was just me introducing myself, telling her that, you know, I'm going to BYU. I'm, you know, one of the top nation's prospects. And just, you know, trying to, like, just meet people and just get advice. And she was just, you know, gave me advice. Obviously, from a WNBA standpoint, it's different. But, I mean, we was just talking. It was more than basketball. Like, she was talking about how her daughter plays volleyball and my sister plays volleyball. So, like, it was just different conversations that flowed.
Very cool. You gather so much information and have so many opportunities in these conversations. How do you compile all of the information? Do you keep a journal? Do you write notes on your phone? Like, what do you do when you're getting all this advice?
No, I have a great memory, though. I remember a lot of things.
Straight up. Okay. Hey, just lock it away. I know you're a good student. We've talked about that a couple of times. Not everybody's as keen that way, AJ, so you're very lucky that way. Okay, so memorize all the good stuff. Do well on your tests, and certainly that'll bode well for you at BYU. Your team heads to Florida this week, like your future BYU teammates. They play Baylor on Tuesday, then they'll be in Orlando at UCF on Saturday, so what's ahead for you specifically in Florida this week?
We are playing in the Montverde Invitational. We play potentially three games. It's tournament style. So, I mean, if you win out, then you'll go to the championship. So, there's hopefully winning, you know, more games. That's just the goal.
Montverde is a team that took it to you recently. Are you hoping for a rematch there to get another crack at them?
Yeah, definitely. A team that you lose to, you want to rematch them and try to get that get back. So.
Yeah, I know that there aren't many rivalries per se in AAU basketball, but that feels like it could be one there. And Coach Smart has obviously talked to you about what happened in that game. So what is Coach Smart telling you this week to try and help you get better?
I mean, take your time. Like, just figure out what works. Like we're going to do our film. We're going to keep practicing and bring in new plays, bring in new defenses, see what works, see what doesn't work, and we're just going to be better.
AJ Dubonza is with us on BYU Sports Nation. And we'll finish up with this. BYU, huge game against Baylor. It's a quad one opportunity that could help BYU's NCAA tournament resume. And then another quad one game, as we mentioned, at UCF in Orlando on Saturday. What do you expect from the Cougs this week?
I mean, Baylor's tough. Great Big 12 team, coached by a really good coach. But, I mean, I think we could pull it off. I mean, if we're going to watch their film this week. I think they play Thursday. So we have plenty of time to review, plenty of time to have a scout team going on, and we should be able to come up with the dub. And Saturday, UCF's tough. I wish I could go to the game because I will be around that area, but I think I have a game too, which I got to focus on. But that would be two big wins for BYU and BYU commits.
Let's go. BYU trying to get to 6-4 after two wins this week in Big 12 play. AJ, always great to catch up with you, man. So glad things went well for you in Paris. Glad you got your fill of sweets over there and that you're back on the normal diet plan. But we're sending you some BYU Sports Nation karma for you to travel safely to Florida and to play well against Montverde, man. Go and beat that team.
I will. Thank you.
AJ Dubonza on BYU Sports Nation.
Yeah, he'll be like 45 minutes away. But he's got his own.
He was contemplating for a second, like, could I?
And I think
could
it's an afternoon game, right?
And for BYU? Could I still go watch BYU play?
The answer is probably not. I do hope that he gets a chance to be at the Arizona game next week on Tuesday.
That'd it's always cool. Great to have him around the team and in the arena.
His schedule is kind of, he plays on the, what? It's his birthday
it's
tomorrow?
His birthday tomorrow.
Happy birthday. Does he turn 17 or is he 18?
I think he turns 18 tomorrow.
He turns 18?
I believe so, yes.
Nice.
Okay.
Happy birthday to AJ.
Let's go. Big 18, McDonald's All-American and his birthday week.
Feels like every week something exciting is going on with AJ. And we're going to continue to chronicle that regularly here.
Yeah, we'll do that. You'll have one-on-ones with him. We may even sprinkle in a guest interview or two.
Some other people talking to him, too.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Okay, if you missed any of our interviews with AJ Dubonza and other guys on the show, find them anytime on BYU Sports Nation's YouTube channel.
You know what I love? He's bought in on BYU. He's all in on the Cougs, baby.
It's like, I wish I have coaching thoughts, but I'm not that good of a coach.
Still on the way. How did losses to UC Irvine impact men's volleyball in the national rankings? Plus, Delanie Gibb does it again. Headlines on the way. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
BYU Sports Nation on social, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Let's roll out today's headlines.
Ball night. Men's Hoops taking on Baylor. Quad one opportunity. First chance for a third straight win in Big 12 play in BYU men's basketball history. Head coach Kevin Young talked about confidence going into the matchup.
I feel good. You know, I mean, winning obviously breeds confidence, and shot making breeds confidence. So, the season is, you always have ups and downs, and you hope to capitalize on the ups and build on them. That's kind of what I told our guys. You know, we want to try to – we've really stacked good days practice-wise, and now we got to stack wins.
You know who else used chapstick a lot at BYU? Ty Detmer. Always had just chapstick in his pocket. You got to respect it. BYU 3.5-point favorite, 60% chance to win, according to Ken Pomp. Pre-game at 8 Eastern on BYU TV. Your boys will be on that show. Spencer with the latest from the Marriott Center. And of course, on BYU Radio.
You just heard from him, BYU signee and the number one player in the country, AJ DeBonta, named a McDonald's All-American yesterday. DeBonta, the sixth BYU player all-time to be named to the McDonald's All-American teams, joining Elder Devin Durant, Michael Smith, Greg Kite, Sean Bradley, and Garner Meads. This year's McDonald's All-American game takes place on Tuesday, April 1st in the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York. They couldn't find a different day besides April Fool's Day.
Yeah, what's up with that, man? Ponderize. Big 12 scoreboard. Arizona beat number 3 Iowa State 86-75 in overtime last night, thanks to the heroics of Caleb Love.
Good grief.
With a 60-foot buzzer beater to send the game into OT. It was crazy. Make a free throw prior to that. You
Mikhail
win.
Magic!
Yep. With the win, Arizona 7-1 in the Big 12, alone in second place. Iowa State 6-2. Other games in the Big 12 today. UCF at number 11, Kansas. That's a sneaky good one. BYU plays at UCF Saturday. Cincinnati at Utah. Arizona State at Colorado.
I'd love for BYU to be in the top 6 by tomorrow, this time.
Make it happen.
Beat Baylor!
Let's go.
BYU football defensive back Tanner Wall, also honored as a first-team academic All-American this morning. Well done, Tanner!
Truly a student-athlete, or as some say, an athletic student.
Listen, he's a man that I can relate to. Tanner Wall started all 13 games at free safety, finished the year as BYU's co-leader in interceptions with 3, and was 4th in total tackles of 53. BYU defensive back Jacob Robinson named to the Shrine Bowl roster yesterday, joining teammate Tyler Batty. Robinson totaled 43 tackles, 5 tackles for loss, and tied for the team lead with 3 interceptions last season. He was second team all Big 12.
What a year for Jacob. He was great. Men's volleyball holds steady at number 5 in this week's ABCA poll after dropping 2 road matches at number 2 UC Irvine last week. Not punished for those. BYU host number 4 Hawaii Friday and Saturday. Massive matches, 9 Eastern on BYU TV.
Can't Calling wait. It. Wins forthcoming, Jerem.
Ooh, multiple.
Let's go. Let's go. And for the second consecutive week and the 6th time this season, Delanie Gibb, ho-hum, named the Big 12 Freshman of the Week in women's basketball.
Let's call it the Big 12 Delanie Gibb Award.
Can we just dub her the Freshman of the Year already?
Yeah.
Goodness.
We have that power, right? The league office gave us that.
She averaged 19.5 points, 45.5% shooting, and 50% shooting from the three-point line, along with 5 rebounds per game and 4.5 assists per contest last week.
She's so good. Very fun to watch.
After the break, how BYU men's basketball, specifically Mawit Mag, escaped the Civil War and used basketball as a way to succeed and see the world. An incredible Deep Blue next. This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B alongside Jerem Jordan. I'm Spencer Linton. Time now for Deep Blue, specifically with Mawit Mag. His family moved to Australia to escape a civil war in Sudan. While in Melbourne, Mawit followed in the shoes of his brother, has found an opportunity to succeed and see the world in the game of basketball. This is Deep Blue featuring BYU basketball transfer Mawit Mag.
Me and my wife, all my family, we come from South Sudan.
Sudan was rocked by civil war for many years, and that led all the way to the separation of the country into two countries.
Life is still very much difficult for the everyday person. They just don't have access to the best education. A lot of the time, people are only having just a single meal because of the financial difficulties.
Many families moved out of the country and became refugees in neighboring countries in East Africa.
They say Australia is a very good country. It's very safe, good for a family. We fill the form and we go to interview and they approve us to come to Australia.
When they get to the West, and that's for the lucky ones, by the way, the lucky few that are able to get that, they want to sacrifice everything for their children. So then their children now become that generation, the next generation, that creates that kind of better chance for the family.
We decided to go back and visit, and the primary reason was because my mother wanted to go back and visit her family. We'd only been in the village for about a week.
During the night, one night, we got woken up around 2, 3 a.m. and told us to pack our bags, we gotta go.
And then sort of just flee for safety.
We got informed that the rebels are coming and they're not coming here to do anything pleasant. First time seeing AK-47 and seeing dead bodies on the ground, so it was pretty dramatic.
I was very much disappointed that, you know, after so many years of conflict and fighting that, you know, that there'd still be people out there that were still, they had the energy in them to want to still pick up a gun and fight. I just thought that, you know, at that point that the country had suffered enough. Like, why would you want to go back?
Approximately about two weeks or a week and a little bit that we're fleeing on feet and walking a lot, it was hot. We had to carry our luggage with us. And one time, I think it was during the nighttime in the evening, the guys were deciding whether if we should leave in during the nighttime or in the morning. And thankfully, we decided to leave at nighttime. And once we left and it was the morning, we got told and informed that the same place we were at the shore got raided by rebels. And it was very, you know, very emotional. I was very scared and frightened because I was young. But it's just an eye-opener and it's a true testament to just to know that, you know, you just never know what's gonna happen and tomorrow's never promised. And that day moving forward, I just, you know, started to humble myself and try to be more appreciative of the things I have rather than complain that the things I don't have.
Going back home really did reinforce the fact that moving here to Australia, I was able to do so much more that I just would not have been possible had we stayed back in Sudan. Had we not decided to, you know, move up north for my parents to find work and then eventually come here, my life would have just been completely different.
Once I made it back to Australia, you know, I was very fortunate to start playing sports. You know, I was really tall. I was the tallest in my family and, you know, I'm a little copycat, so I copied my brother. And I see my brother attend this one team called Longhorns Basketball, coached by and the founder by Coach Mignon.
And I said, "This is your little brother? I thought he was 16 and he was only 13. And I said, "Oh, he's on the team." I didn't even see him play. Physically, he was just built for the game.
Coach Mignon brought me to the side and just spoke to me and you know, and presented an opportunity for me to go to the States. He's seen how I developed and how I was prevailing and getting better every day. And he thought that would be best if I wanted to play the highest levels or reach my goals was to go out to the States and compete over here.
To be honest, at the beginning, my parents were very much against the idea.
Yeah, very hard because we don't know anyone there. But Mahmoud decided to go there to play. So we say, okay.
A part of the problem was that they couldn't foresee it. But once Mahmoud was there in the US and they saw how focused he was, they couldn't have been more happier for him.
When he got his opportunity, he grabbed it with two hands and he worked hard in the United States, graduated from high school and was able to get a scholarship to go to college.
And once I got to Rutgers, I did my whole 4 years there. I graduated and then I decided to enter the transfer portal. I felt like it was just time for, you know, change of scenery.
You know, Mawut's story is one that's just the ultimate perseverance story. He's a guy who brings a ton of basketball experience, which is extremely trumped by his life experience.
Had to get on you guys a little bit, talking about you never know when we're going to need somebody, you never know what happens, and lo and behold, Richie goes down first play of the game. Mag comes in and plays his absolute freaking tail off, okay?
It's amazing, like he shows up every day with a smile on his face, But I don't know that everybody on our team even really understands the hardships that he's been through.
I'm sure, you know, wanting to provide for his family and create a future for himself, that's his drive. You know, that's his motivation.
I think he has not forgotten, though, where he comes from, and, you know, really wants to, I think, do proud for South Sudan and his African heritage.
You know, he gets up every morning. You know, he stays late at night. You know, works on his jump shot. You know, works on different aspects of his game because he wants to impact us in a positive way and, you know, set his future up.
He gets it from my parents. They're like, they work very hard, and I think he just, like, wants to be like them. Like, it's just that they've got us to this point, so it's up to us to now find our way.
Knowing my parents have sacrificed so much, it makes me feel grateful and a little bit special as well. I feel very special, especially knowing that they were parents who chose not to make the move.
Without them, this wouldn't be possible, and they did the best they could to give us, each one of us, an opportunity to have a better life and be successful. So shout out to my parents, you know, love them both, and yeah, thank you to them.
Yeah, keep going well. Keep going, doing well. You finish uni and you keep going with the basketball, and you've got a good friend, got school, very good. You are happy with the school and you have got a friend, new friend, it's very good. We just told him, keep going the same thing.
Keep going is right. Mwit Mag has started 4 games in a row. He's made a difference on this team as a person and a player. BYU basketball with Kevin Young is coming up tomorrow night. Special time, not Thursday. It's on a Wednesday. They're leaving Thursday for Florida. It's on the BYU TV app tomorrow night, 8:30 Eastern.
Still on the way, Top 5 Tuesday highlights the top 5 BYU wins over Baylor and all sports during the Big 12 era. Good vibes on the way. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. It is time for Top 5 Tuesday, and we highlight the top 5 wins by BYU in all sports over Baylor. Start us off, Jerem.
Number 6, women's soccer defeated Baylor in September of 2023. Brecken Mozingo had a brace. That means 2 goals. Rachel McCarthy, Allie Fryer added goals as well. So it picked up its first Big 12 win ever, 4-0.
All right, at number 4, BYU women's volleyball, number 23 in the country, hosting number 18 Baylor in October of 2024. The Cougars swept the Bears in 3 sets. Ellie Mortensen tallied a career high 18 kills to lead BYU. Claire Little added 14 kills.
That's literally the only match I didn't call a year. It was on FS1. Number 3, football. Number 22, BYU played at Baylor in September. This was a big win. At the time, we didn't know it, but Baylor ended up being 8-5. They're pretty good.
A good win.
They jumped out 28-7 in this game, led 31-14 at halftime, held off Baylor for the win, mounted a comeback. Crew Wakely right here. Big interception for Crew as BYU defeated Baylor.
Number 2, BYU women's basketball. Hosting number 18 Baylor in February of last year, Lauren Gusson had 23 points and 16 rebounds. Amari Whiting, near triple-double, 14 points, 9 assists, 8 rebounds. BYU won 78-66, the Cougars' first win over a ranked team under Amber Whiting.
And number 1, men's basketball last year, defeating Baylor at home, avenging the loss on the road. BYU number 25, Baylor number 11. BYU made 11 of 14. Trevin Nell, Jackson Robinson, Ali Khalifa, 11 of BYU's 14 threes. Cougars won by 7, first regular season win over 3 ranked teams in the same season. That was pretty good.
Incredible. All right, let's continue. Do you expect BYU to beat Baylor tonight and add another win to that list? Why or why not? Our Elite Voice of the Day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, comes in from at KW Jazzman on X, who says, they have shown some very good stuff the last 2 games, speaking of BYU. I don't expect anything, but I feel better than I did about this game a week ago.
Absolutely. BYU's played very good, especially in the second half.
I expect BYU to win the game tonight.
I do too.
Got that bench depth and health. Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
AJ DeBonta, 6th McDonald's All-American in BYU history. Happy birthday to him tomorrow.
Let's go, AJ. Celebrate with the Big Mac, or don't. Thanks to him for joining us today.
Sorry to Dennis Pitta, we ran out of time.
For Jerem, I'm Spencer. A final shout out to Daniel Bobick. See you tonight for BYU Sports Nation Countdown. Go Cougs!